Potato Anniversary. As the first anniversary of my potato famine approached, I dropped an email to a bunch of other cronuts asking if they wanted to do anything to commemorate the day. I wanted to celebrate by going through the whole famine again and get everyone all excited about it. But Cray Ray wasn't thrilled with the idea. He reminded us that potatoes are not healthy eating. The idea behind the potato famine was to get me out of my bad eating habits so I could establish new ones. And it had done just that. Since it was just a psychological and physiological ploy to knock me out of my head for a couple of weeks, there was no reason to do it again. Although I was about 10 pounds over target weight I'd hit 9 months ago, it wouldn't feel the same. I didn't need it, and since I was much thinner now, the weight wouldn't just fall off me. It would be less exciting. On top of all that, Cray Ray was worried that I would write about it and talk about it, and all his hard, complicated work would be seen as the potato diet. That might get a little press and make us all some money, but it was bad science. I shouldn't go to just potatoes every December 9th. Cray Ray said that would be stupid and counterproductive. So, at 11:55 p.m. on Tuesday, December 8th, I had a few spoonfuls of peanut butter, and at 12:01 a.m. on Wednesday, December 9th, I had a potato. I went against Cray Ray. I'd gone rogue. I didn't have a plan. I was just fucking around. I wasn't going to do 2 weeks, but I wanted some sort of ritual. Last year, potatoes were saving my life. This year, it was just an unwanted performance art love letter to Cray Ray. I had a couple potatoes during movie night that night with my buddies, but it was different this time, because no one noticed. None of my friends cared any longer if my eating looked weird. They couldn't bug me about it. It had worked, and I had earned my fuck yous. Also, I was eating the potatoes with Tabasco, so it wasn't completely crazy. I went to bed with a couple of potatoes in my belly and got up the next morning and didn't eat. That also wasn't a big deal because I had been going 16 hours or more without eating on most days. Easy, maybe 4 Bakers and a couple of sweet potatoes for supper. I went into the show and had my low-calorie potato high. It felt great. I did a really fast, lean, fun, breezy show. Yeah, I get a little lightheaded, but I still felt great. I had room service deliver me a bunch of potatoes after the show and ate 2 that night and saved the rest for the next day. The next day, Thursday, was a travel day. We were going to play Harris Cherokee in North Carolina on Friday night. Easy grabbed me a few potatoes from the night before and added in a few sweet potatoes that she cooked up in a container of Tabasco, and off I went eating potatoes to bring home the bacon. I'm still using the CPAP. I still strap on my fat fuck machine to sleep every night. It's a smart CPAP, so it measures how much I need it, and that keeps going down. I should get rid of it too, but it gave me so much comfort when I was a fat fuck, and it's part of my sleeping ritual. It also means that TSA is even more of a pain in the ass, so I have my luggage shipped from hotel to hotel so I don't have to fight with the insolence of office. How did Shakespeare know about TSA? Because of the luggage being shipped, I just carried on a computer bag with my computer and my tablet and some plugs and wires. The potatoes wouldn't fit in the bag, so I had to carry a plastic bag with my snacks. Damn, I make fun of anyone in our crew who carries on a plastic bag from the sundry store. I had my fancy computer bag over one shoulder and a plastic bag full of potatoes and a Tupperware container full of Tabasco in my hand. I may be skinny, but I'm not classy. The potatoes were wrapped in aluminum foil, the way the Rio prepared and served them, but I've since found out that can be dangerous. It's very rare, but in the anaerobic environment inside the cozy aluminum foil, the happy potato can fester killer botulism. You shouldn't store your potatoes in aluminum foil. You shouldn't even cook them in aluminum foil because that's not a baked potato. It's a steamed potato. When one eats as many potatoes as I did for a while, people talk shit about them. It was pretty much an all-day journey, 2 planes and a pretty long drive. I didn't eat a thing until supper time. We were all changing planes. When I whipped out a sweet potato and ate it on the new plane after being seated. A cold sweet potato, after I've lost the crazy sad lust, is like butterscotch pudding. Creamy texture and so sweet and pleasing. The guy across the aisle said to my manager, "I don't mean to be nosy, but is he eating a sweet potato?" The long-suffering Glenn affirmed his suspicion. I guess you saw this in the tabloids. When I got to the hotel, I had another couple of potatoes with much too much Tabasco and slept great. The shows you do on the road contain different material from our Vegas show. A lot of the same people who see us in Vegas see us near their hometown, too. We can only fit so much shit on the truck, and we like to change things up, so there's a different set list on the road and different bits to remember. Lots of different words I'm supposed to say and a different order to say them in. I didn't want to be lightheaded for a road show. I asked Cray-Ray about it, and he said that since he was against me doing just potatoes again anyway, he was okay with me breaking the potatoes that I shouldn't be doing anyway. The chef at Harrah's had taken the challenge laid down in our backstage rider and made me a great meal. Broccoli, zucchini, black beans, brown rice, and a bunch of beautiful acorn squash baked just right. I chowed down and chased it with a couple of pears. As usual, the first pear was great. The second pear fucked me. Zeke, my buddy and one of our directors of covert activities, and I are obsessed with how pears fuck us, so we ran some scientific tests. I went to the fruit tray and grabbed a pear. It was sweet and juicy with a pleasing texture. This is how they fuck you. With this pear in my mind, I'm supposed to say, I love pears. I'm going to eat them all the time. And then, with pleasant anticipation, grab my next pear. And it's sour, or dry, or mealy, or rotten, and all the pears laugh at me. Fuckers! We tried to outsmart the pears. I grabbed a second one, and right before I bit into it, I ran over and gave it to Zeke. He tried it. It was perfect, juicy and sweet. Its flesh supple, with just the right amount of give. He thought that maybe the problem was the taste buds change in reaction to the first pear. So he cut off a piece of his and gave it to me. It was delicious. It wasn't me. It was the pear itself. My mouth was fine. So I grabbed another pear and took a bite. Fucker! I've had worse pears, but it sure wasn't as good as the first one. It was a little sour, not as juicy, and the texture was a little funky. I grabbed another pear for Zeke. Same thing for him. Yep, the pears had fucked us. So it wasn't our reaction to the pears. We didn't change. We'd proved that. And it wasn't faulty memory between pears because these are really close together in time. The pears were changing, and they were changing based on who was going to eat that particular pear. Amazing. How do pears know how to fuck a fella? Zeke and I figured it was Schrodinger's pear. When someone picks up the pear, it is neither good nor bad. Or, more precisely, it is both good and bad at the same time. Juicy, dry, sweet, sour, ripe, green, rotten, mealy, and firm all exist together, superimposed on one another. It's a wave pair and a particle pair at the same time. Fuckers go quantum just to fuck our asses. So I hit the stage in the event center at Harrah's Cherokee with an unsatisfying pair as my final food feeling. Fucker! After the show, I had some food court pineapple and grapefruit. On the rare times that pineapple fucks you, it warns you. It looks a little brown or it's hard to the fork. Pineapple is a reliable booty call of fruit. Why go with that capricious, scheming, moody pear? I had a couple of potatoes with way, way, way too much hot sauce in my room, and then an orange and some grapes to soothe the burning. I think while the pineapple was doing me a solid, the Dunkin' Donuts woman gave me caffeine in my decaffeinated coffee so I didn't sleep. I was up at 4 a.m. and had a pleasing apple from the fruit basket. Let the pear cry itself to sleep! The next day, I flew home with a couple of Harrah's potatoes out of the foil and squeezed into my computer bag, and I ate the two potatoes on the plane. My Tabasco was in a regular bottle, so I could use it without stinking up the plane. I got home, saw my family, and watched a couple of movies, and then I realized that I was hungry, and what I was craving was fresh fruit. I didn't feel like potatoes, but also didn't feel like a cheeseburger or a slice of pizza. A year later, and Cray-Ray's plan had worked. I've come a long way. I had some cherries, some blueberries with cocoa, and a handful of shelled pistachios. When I weighed myself, I was at 228.7. I'd lost most of the weight I gained in 9 months in just 4 days. My little love letter to Cray-Ray was 6.2 pounds of fat gone in 4 days.